Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Are you serious?
This is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Brunzi.
And I'm producer Bill.
Plenty of ways there to kill some time out there. Now you're killing some time with us. We've got a lot to get through on today's episode. But first things first, I want to let you know that if you head to howtokillanhour.com/news, you can join our weekly newsletter, which will be giving you the juiciest info in the world of killing time. So if there's a way to kill time and we don't talk about it on the show, odds are it's on the flipping newsletter. Do you know what I mean? Few shouts out before we crack on with today's show. I want to say hello to the DJ Lioness. All right, she's one of our stateside listeners. She said, "Real talk, she's listening to our highlights of 2018." A lot of people are still picking up on the highlights of 2018, and kind of when people quote back like bits of episodes to you. I've noticed a lot has come back from the 2018 episode, and many of those things that have come back to us that we've spoken about in that episode have been pretty similar to what DJ Lioness said. She said, "I went to a festival last year and I prayed to God that I wouldn't need to poo for 5 days because of the porta potties, because they were next level. They're like the things you see in horror films. And let's just say, as soon as I drove away from said festival, I found the nearest Starbucks." Now, two things are very interesting about what DJ Lioness said, Billy. And one of them is that all festival toilets absolutely stink, right? But people don't realize that festival toilets don't just stink on day two and three. Like, they stink all the way through, because those festival toilets go on tour, right? So those festival toilets don't just do like one festival and get cleaned out. You've got shit that's bouncing around from Creamfields, Wireless, maybe a Glastonbury in there. Do you know what I mean? So it's not the kind of, they're not the kind of units that you can ever expect anything other than the stinkiest shit smell. Second thing is finding a Starbucks to have a shit in is also a great idea. But Billy, when you go for a shit, do you find that having a coffee beforehand helps to kind of get things going?
I don't drink coffee.
Really?
So that question is null and void on me.
You never drank coffee here. Have I seen you drink a tea once?
Tea, yeah, I drink tea, but I don't drink coffee.
What about tea before shit?
That doesn't really go through my head, to be honest. I think if I need to go to the toilet, I'll go to the toilet. I don't need to drink.
There's no trigger.
I need a coffee before this.
There's no trigger that gives you, like, I've had this, I'm going to go for a shit. Because for me, I'm like, if I have a strong black coffee, curtains, bruv. Unless I've just gone for a shit, then I'm not going to shit again. But if I've not gone for a shit and I have a strong black coffee, that's like, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm going out raving and I want to have a nice shower and I don't want to, like, have a shit after my shower because that ruins the shower, I have a nice strong coffee, have a shit, shower, shave, skank out.
Boom. Job
makes
done.
Makes sense. Anyway, yeah, thanks for that. Also, hello to Finnegan, Antonia, Bereska, Jesse Torres, John Mills, Richie Driss. shout out to actually Richie and Mr. Midas and a bunch of people that helped us hit a benchmark on our YouTube, youtube.com/howtokillanhour. John Bentley 90, who was on last week's episode. Check that out. The Art of Podcast, and Mr. Hooley, who enjoyed our Ford video, which is a great segue into our Ford Edge ice driving experience. Now, Billy, from somebody who didn't manage to come over to Sweden, to Stockholm, where it was minus fucking cold, mate. Fucking cold. How did the Ford Edge video look to you? I mean, what's your impression
to take
on it?
Bloody good.
Just blooming good, isn't it?
It looked like a lot of fun, to be honest. Skidding around, drifting on those icy roads there.
It was great fun. I mean, Ford were like, "We've got this SUV called the Ford Edge. It's new, it's improved, and it's a vehicle that can handle terrain that isn't your everyday terrain, right? So they were like, would you like to come to Sweden and drive this car? And I was like, sure, it'll be kind of cold. You know, Stockholm looks kind of chilly. And then when we looked at the itinerary, I realized that we weren't going to Stockholm. We actually were going to Orea, I think that's how you say it. Basically, it's spelled A-R-E, and it's got the weird circle over the E, or over the A. Weird circle over the A? Let me check that. There we go. On show Googling. Yes, over the A. It's got like this little circle over it. But we went there. So we flew to Stockholm, chilled for a few hours, and then flew to Ore, and then we got to get our hands on the Ford Edge. And my first experience of a Ford Edge, actually, Billy, is in LA. I got my SUV when I went over to LA, like a hire car. And they get, like, I don't know what your experience is with hire cars, but basically you pick a tier, right? So I picked the tier of SUV because I was like in LA and I figured I just want to be high up. I want to look around. You know, I'm driving on the other side of the road. If I take a wonky left or a right, I want people to see what's going on. Do you know what I mean? I want people to see me and beep at me. I don't want to be in a smart car and just get squished under an 18 wheeler in LA. And they were like, hey man, like, you know, you can get this, or you can get this Ford Edge. I looked at this Ford Edge and I was like, all right, cool. Jumped in it. And I was like, this is sick. Like, why isn't Ford, you know, why isn't a vehicle like this, like in the UK? At the time, I wasn't aware of the Edge being available in the UK. Like, it wasn't really something that was hyped about. So when I heard about this Edge kind of getting a revamp, I was really happy to kind of hear that we're going to be getting introduced to this in Europe. Because even though I'm a city boy, I'm a big boy as well, Billy. And I like to be in a big car because basically I fit in it. Do you know what I mean? So that's like the first thing about the Ford Edge ST line. But what about you? Have you been in a Ford or two or an SUV?
I've been in an SUV.
Yeah.
I've been in the Ford's version of SUV. They are pretty big. And then when you come back over to the UK, you get into a normal size car, quote unquote. It is. It does feel like you're low to the ground compared to what you've been used to driving in.
Oh, it's mad. It's mad. When you get into like a, I don't know, like a coupe or something, you don't realize how much a car makes you lie down. But when you get in an SUV, you're actually sitting up. It's really nice. Kind of can see stuff. Anyway, so Ford took us out to Orea in Sweden, and we got to drive this new Ford Edge, which is cool for us at How to Kill an Hour because it's got a lot of tech in it. And we are, in essence, a tech podcast. Like, obviously, we're less megapixels. We're more like, you know, is it good with your mates? And when Ford were like, look, this is a tech-packed SUV, I was like, all right, cool. And it got me thinking, Billy, like, more and more tech is moving into the car space. So do you think we're going to be doing more car stuff moving forward?
Definitely, because, of course, you've got the Teslas, you've got the BMWs that are, like, electrical or hybrid or whatever.
Yeah.
Tech is going to be seeping into our modes of transport at one point or another.
It's going to be saturating.
Definitely, definitely.
What other moisture kind of word can we use? It's going to be dripping. To be flowing
into our
waves of tech.
The one thing that I thought was quite cool when you said I want to go for a coffee, it showed you a coffee.
Yes,
the old promoting responsible driving and all that. You asked me to go for a beer.
Right, okay, cool.
And it showed you to the nearest bar.
Come on, let's put this in context, right? Basically, the car has loads of tech in it. I'll get to some other bits, but one of them is the Sync 3 system. And what they've done is they've made, it's, you know, Alexa, you know, Siri, you know, Google Home. They've got their own version of smart in-car assistance. So you can say to it, like, I need food, or I need a coffee, or I need a beer, and it will direct you to somewhere that you can go. It just so happened that in that area of Sweden, it's really remote, so beer and coffee were actually the same place. But Billy, it doesn't mean I was necessarily drinking. I might have passengers that want a beer, all right, mate? And I don't know about the drinking laws in that country, but maybe one bottle of beer is legal, all right? So no need to chastise me, Billy, because Billy's very sensible, I have you know. If he's driving anywhere that night, you just will abstain from beer, won't you?
Of course, definitely. Would don't you, even want to risk that.
What about a non-alcoholic?
Yeah, that's fine. But then again, it might kind of like ninja it way in, think, oh no, you've been drinking, I can smell it on you.
What, like coppers might do that?
No, when you blow into the machine.
No, that's not how it works. It picks up your alcoholic content in your
on
blood.
Your mouth.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't pick up the smell of beer. Otherwise, geez, gosh, you might have bad breath that just sets it off. Anyway, so the Ford has the Sync 3 system. God knows what happened to Sync 1 and Sync 2. And that is, for me, very practical. When you're driving, you want to be focusing on the road. You want to be focusing on what you need to do with regards to keeping your car on the road, especially when you're in the icy, you know, environment that is Sweden. So having something like that, I think, is great. I think everything that's smart at the moment in terms of smart assistants can improve. Until we're at the level where you can talk to it like the way Tony Stark talks to Jarvis, I don't think I'm ever going to be 100% happy, right? And that's, no assistant does that at the moment. But we're getting there, though. I want a coffee is probably the most casual way I've spoken to any smart system ever. Usually it's like, show me where coffee is, or show me the closest cafe. Like, that's not how I'd speak to a mate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's quite cool. Other tech that it's got in it as well, it's got its Ford Pass Connect, which allows everyone to stay in the car and connect to the Wi-Fi in the car, which is pretty cool. In-car Wi-Fi is a big thing. I believe you had a courtesy car with in-car Wi-Fi when you had that little crash, didn't you, a while back?
Oh, yeah, that was a few years ago. No, yeah. I didn't really understand what it was all about. I didn't use it at all.
Now you do. Rinse that. It's also got pre-collision assist as well and lane centering. Now, this is a really cool thing that we're going to be looking at cars quite a bit this month. That's something that's going to come up. And this is kind of this new, almost automatic self-driving vehicle. So while we're still trying to work out the legals of self-driving vehicles, like having all vehicles self-driving, there's this really nice feature where companies like Ford have created an assistant which kind of keeps you on the center of a lane, so it stops you from drifting off lanes, and can also deal with its adaptive cruise control as well. So for example, if you're going on an A road or a motorway and it goes from 70 miles an hour to 50, the car will slow down to 50 for you, so you don't have to do anything. So cruise control will keep you in the middle of the lane and at the right speed. So that's pretty cool. Struggled a bit in Sweden though, Bill. Can you guess why?
Snowy
roads, mate. So it couldn't really see the road. But these things, I don't know what they're going to need do to kind of deal with that, but that was very extreme. That's probably my only gripe about the car, really, which, to be fair, it's kind of like, get me, not the worst thing. What, it can't see snow's like this, like impossible to see lines that are white, innit? If I can't do it, I can't expect a car to do it. The ST line also came with a Bang & Olufsen sound system. It's like 1,000 watts of power. Each of the speakers are tuned specifically to the part of the car they're in, which basically makes for sick sound. Nice when it's loud, nice when it's quiet as well. And that's the car. Really enjoyed it, man. The ST line had a nice kick to it. The innards were really good as well. Obviously, if you want to get it topped up, get the full levers, it does look sexy. It's out in January 2019, so you should be seeing it on the roads right now. And also, Billy, I just want to say, in Sweden I also ate reindeer, bruv, twice.
What was it like? Was it good? Was it barbecue reindeer? Was it just sort of off the cooker reindeer? Was it microwave reindeer? Was it topped with barbecue sauce? Was it with peri-peri sauce? Was it skinned? Was it grilled? Was it fried? Tell me all about it.
Thing with reindeer, right? They told us in Sweden is that it's clean, like it's fresh when it comes off the mountain. So you can kind of treat it like beef, like you can have it rare, medium, or well done. And we had this thing called, it was a fondue, right? A reindeer fondue. But instead of cheese, we had like this pot. You know fondue, right? You got like a pot of melting cheese in the middle of the table and you get little bits of thing and put it on a stick and dip it in and get cheese, right? And cheese,
yeah.
Cheesy, whatever.
Cool.
This was reindeer. So you had like a gravy, kind of like really like thick gravy full of flavor. And then you just had like slices of raw reindeer fresh off the mountain. And we stuck our skewers in and you put it in the like the heated pot for like, I don't know, I did it for like 3 minutes and you got like a kind of medium rare bit of reindeer. Fucking delicious. But bearing in mind though, when we shot this, it was just before Christmas, so I couldn't really like come home and scream that I've eaten reindeer at that time of year. But
yeah, you've eaten Rudolph.
I would eat Rudolph all day long, bruv. I would
Is
eat
that
some
good?
I would eat, yeah, it was that good. And I ate moose as well. We had moose burger. It's pretty cool as well.
Making me hungry, mate. Making me hungry.
Are you alright? Would you eat stuff like that?
Yeah, as long as it's not like anything too out there. Then
what's
I'll
be
too
out there? What counts as too out there?
Scorpion.
Where did that come from?
Scorpion. People eat scorpions.
But like, have you been offered scorpion before?
No. Or, sorry, I don't know, monkey brains or pig brains or anything. That's not really.
Really? You wouldn't like try a little bit of scorpion, like a little bit of leg or something like that? I'll try it.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
A bit crunchy.
I presume it'd be crunchy. I mean, I don't think I'd be like, oh, bruh. You wouldn't come home from work after a long day and be like, oh, I'd love a bit of scorpion. But if you were in the environment, you'd try a bit though, right?
But you can buy grasshoppers, can't you? Is it grasshoppers or is something like you can buy them and munch on them?
Yeah, yeah. They're quite common, grasshoppers, but...
I'm not really feeling that. So that doesn't sound very fulfilling.
There's actually... I was actually asked to eat some crickets the other day for like a dare. Someone was doing a YouTube video. Actually, shout out to Pan and Ice, actually. They're an ice cream company. And this video is never going to make air because they told they weren't allowed to put it out. But I think, I don't know, the powers that be. But they basically, these guys chop up cream and fruits and make them into these sexy ass, like ice creams on this big, they basically cut it up on this big slab of ice. Pretty much. Actually, we went to an event, didn't we? And we had them.
Yeah, we had some there. Yeah, yeah. It was good.
Yeah, and they made one with cricket in it for a laugh to see if anyone
knew it.
Yeah, man. I just thought, fuck it. It's edible, isn't it? What's the worst that can happen? I'm not dead, am I? So yeah, I've tried that. Wasn't that nice, if I'm honest.
Even with a bit of ice cream flavouring, it wasn't that good.
Nah, man. Nah, it tasted like somebody took a really nice ice cream and ruined it. Anyway, before we move on from this, Ford comes in three different models. The models are Titanium, the ST line, and the Vignale, I think. The Vignale. That's how I was saying it wrong on holiday. And if you want to see the full video for it, please go to howtokillanhour.com. It's on the homepage. Ford Edge Ice Driving. Great car, great experience, beautiful visuals as well, right?
Woo. Too Woo. Good. I think it's beautiful.
And I don't want to brag, but we've got some pretty nice visuals on the way as well. Yeah, me. The more car stuff as well, perhaps. Yeah, me. What else happening in the world? Another way I've been killing time. Oh, by the way, this first part of the show is to be talking about how we've been killing a bit of time. Is the Anthem Open Demo. Now, the Anthem's going to come out on the 22nd of February. Right now, as we record this, it is not the 22nd of February, but we got our hands on the open beta gameplay. Now, there was a closed access gameplay for Anthem, this game, which is coming out. It's by EA. And a lot of people were pissed off because they crashed the servers because so many people were trying to get on board for this game. Did you hear about this, Bill?
I heard about it. But always get these sorts of things happen when there's a lot of interest. Like FIFA always happens.
Yeah.
Another one is Call of Duty. First day is always a little bit trip. You trip up every now and then.
Yeah, but you know what? I got on, bruv. I got on. But we didn't record it because it was all right. It was a bit ropey, but just because everyone was trying to connect, it just was too sticky. It wasn't worth recording. But when the open beta came around, managed to get a bit more playtime on it. And Anthem is a game, I'll be honest, I haven't tried to learn too much about the story because basically all I wanted to do is get in these javelins, aka Iron Man suits, fly around, shoot things up. Right, and what I was glad about the open beta is that they get you in at level 10, so you actually have a few powers, and we managed to ride around the world of Anthem, Anthem's in, and kill a few enemies and fly around in these Iron Man type suits, which there are different classes of. So you've got like a bruiser version, you've got like a regular like army version, you've got a speedy version, you've also got this like elemental version, which is like if you cross Storm from X-Men with Iron Man. So you've got like a javelin which you can fly around in and like command bolts of thunder to fuck people up with as well.
It sounds interesting.
I'm not gonna lie, it's sick. So like, here's what's cool about it, right? Is it's a, and this is me, this is something that's a bit of me, it's a very very co-op heavy game. Like, I feel like the story mode, if there is a big one for single player, we didn't get it on the open beta, that's something that could be cool. But for me, it was fun. And on the video we've got actually on howtokillanhour.com, I'm playing with my mate Luke, having a chat and roaming around this world and shooting up stuff. That's what it was all about for me. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I'm all about the co-op type of games. I mean, story-wise games, I always tend to play them co-op. If there's a co-op option available, get my teeth in.
Yeah.
Then I'll always head for the co-op version rather than the single player version, because it just always is just a lot more fun playing with friends. And then they might see things that you miss, or you might see things that they miss. Yeah, and
it's just fun, isn't it? Like, oh look, over, like how are we going to do this? Like, if you get stuck on a puzzle by yourself, it's really, what are you going to do? If you get stuck on a puzzle, you got to go online, innit?
Or Google it, yeah.
Or Google it, innit? If you were with mates, you can be like, oh, let's try this, let's try that.
Eventually, you'll get through it. But if you're doing it by yourself, you can get a little bit.
Yeah.
Unless it's Red Dead, because then that's I'm still playing that single player mode. I'm getting through it, I'm enjoying it. But I would prefer to do it on a co-op.
quick digression. When you finish certain little missions and you pick up guns and stuff, save that shit immediately, right? Because I picked up a legendary weapon, fucked around, got killed, and the game glitched, and I can't get the legendary weapon back again. And I was Googling it. I can't 100% the game. I couldn't 100% the game because of that.
That's unfortunate.
Whatever, man. But anyway, but I had it anyway. But I won't get into that. But anyway, back to Anthem. It's cool, Bill. It's everyone has their own specials in their suits. And I will say, though, I noticed the bosses, though, are real bullet hungry. Like, you can be firing, or like the big enemies.
Sponges, yeah?
Bruv, bullets, sponges, like we were letting off shots. But I think this might be to encourage more multiplayer action, because it was me and one other mate, and we were kind of doing all right at regular level. But when we had like a team of four of us, I felt like it was much more manageable. So maybe that's cool. But it looks visually nice. Flying around in the javelins is cool. One a tip from me, though, fly close to the water if you've got a javelin that burns out quick, because you only get a little bit of flying time, right? Before your engines heat up. But if you fly, I noticed that when I landed in water, my engines were cooling down straight away. If you fly just over the top of water, your engines stay cool. Got you, bruv. Got you.
26 tips from Nas
Klinella. There you go. Another A. Can I ask you how you've been killing some time with your killer bit? What have you been doing recently, Bill? Anything?
I don't know. What have I been doing?
I don't know. What have you been doing, Billy?
I've only been playing... it's a bit late. I'm a bit late on the uptake. I've only been playing Red Dead single player.
How are you finding it?
It's good. I tend to take like the bad side than the good side. Like, if there's someone saying, do you want to save him or do you want to kill him? Just to ask him a few questions, get what I need, and then...
Really?
Yeah, bang, he's gone.
So when you're in a situation where, like, you know, you're in a fist fight sometimes and you can just knock him out, yeah?
Yeah.
Or you can press triangle on a PlayStation or whatever it is on your Xbox, and you can hold them by the neck and choke them out until they die, you'll go for the choke out?
The choke out, or I'll just let go and then I'll shoot him in the head.
Really? Or you'll beat a man's... Will you beat a man's face in until it's, like, inside out?
Yeah, because I'll do that, and then I'll consider doing it again, but doing the opposite. And see if it changes the ending, because apparently there's a couple of endings. There's two different endings.
Yeah, I'm kind of straying in the kind of slightly nicer. I'm slightly respectable. I'm basically playing it like this, Bill. So like, I'm cool. I'll ride past you. Hey, how's it going? But if I ride through an area and I see a guy hanging on a like by a tree, or a guy hanging up like by his neck by a noose or something, I can tell that things are a little bit fishy, and I can tell that this might be a little bit of an ambush. I will take out the big strap and wait for the ambush and start licking off heads, because I'm like, you're not fucking with my character. But if somebody like accidentally bumps into me, I'm like, hey, no problem, man. Like, but if someone fucks with me though, bruv,
that's
heads
it.
Are coming off.
Bang, bang.
Heads are coming off.
Or you could hog tie him and then put him on the back of your...
I hog tied somebody and just rode my horse.
Like, until they fell off.
Yeah. No. I hogtied them and then... No. I just hogtied them and then I lassoed them and carried on riding.
Oh, so dragging them along the floor?
Yeah, man, of course. Don't last very long when you do that.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very... an exciting ride there.
Oh, well, yeah. Anyway, Alita Battle Angel is out now. We should have spoken about this because we actually got an exclusive little viewing of this just before it came out. Have you heard much about this in-between film from James Cameron, who is an exec producer of it, but hasn't been as hands-on with this film? This is the kind of in-between Avatar 1 and 2 film that comes from James Cameron. What have you heard about it? Because you're speaking about your mate. You said you were...
Yeah.
Just before you pressed record, you were about to tell me about it, and I asked you to save it for the show.
Yeah. The Aether was like a mediocre film. He didn't enjoy it.
Tell your friend he's
personally
a dickhead, yeah? What? Tell your friend he is a dickhead. Why did he say that?
He just didn't like it. I don't know. He didn't really give any specifics. He just didn't find it that interesting. Him personally. I haven't seen it myself.
Seriously?
Yeah, man.
Serious? Like, so is he not into kind of sci-fi films or anime?
He's into a bit of both.
So he's into anime and he's into a bit of sci-fi and he doesn't like this?
Didn't like it, no.
All right, so Alita Battle Angel is a story about... I'll just put this to the listener first. Story about a gentleman who fixes androids. And he stumbles across a head and a little bit of body, basically. And rebuilds this head and a little bit of body into
humanoid.
A full humanoid, right? Or a full android, and calls her Alita. I won't say more than that because it fucks up the story. And it goes from there. So there's an anime called Gundam, I think it is, which came out with the original story, and that's like 20 years ago. And I think James Cameron had a real big challenge when it came to this, and the team, and it's Robert Rodriguez, the guy behind Sin City, had a real, like, big franchise to kind of do justice and also take it over to the Western world. And I think they've done really well with it. Story-wise, Alita's a kick-ass fuck. She's a fucking battle angel and a half. Some of the kills in it, bruv.
It reminds me, I saw a little bit of the trailer, it reminds me of, what's it called? Ghost in the Shell. I really enjoyed that movie.
The live-action movie or the original?
The original, the anime cartoon one.
So if you like the original Alita Battle Angel, Gundam, you will love this because the detail, at the screening, actually before the screening, I went to see some scenes that were ready. This was like early last year, end of last year. And apparently James Cameron is like, if it's not real, if it can't happen in real life, or if it's not feasible enough, he doesn't put it in the film. So all the mechs and the movement that you see, he has actual people working in design to make sure that, right, cool, if I've got a chainsaw arm and the chainsaw, I don't know, flings off into the distance connected to a chain, how would that actually work? Like, how would a chainsaw on a projectile on the end of my arm, how would that actually work in the real world? Like, that's how serious he's about stuff. So, like, and this goes back to Avatar as well. I actually bumped into one of the guys that works for the CGI companies and everything behind Avatar. And he was saying that James Cameron put actual budget into people creating actual documents that could describe how a world could organically, like, survive like this, how this would work in a real life scenario before he built the fucking planet that
so
Avatar
deep
was on.
Dived into
deeper than deep
his fictional world.
Yeah, deeper than deep. So yeah, if you're a fan of James Cameron films and you like the high end visuals, it's great. Alita's face looks amazing, by the way. We saw on an IMAX, like, you can see, like, pores, scars, you know, like the imperfections that make faces look real. And they kind of integrate the high-end crazy graphics with kind of like real human interaction, which is pretty cool as well. It's got a lovely story as well. Do you know what I mean? It's got a bit of love, bit of a love story in there, bit of heartbreak in there, some fucking kick-assery as well. It's got a classic anime knife move as well, which people will enjoy. I love it. I give that top marks, man. I give that top marks. I can't believe your friend said it. Is it Danny?
No, it wasn't Danny.
Okay,
it was not Danny.
I was going to say, man, because I like Danny. That would have made me really not like Danny anymore, man. But yeah, that's Alita Battle Angel. That's how I've been killing a bit of time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Funk Butcher and I also went and saw the reign of Superman. Should we try and live FaceTime at the moment? It's his son's birthday yesterday, so he's a little bit knackered now. Should
Let's
we
give it a go
on the show? Let's see if we can get funk on the show. Do 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 do. Funk, Butch.
Let's the Butch of Funk.
The Butch of the Funk. Let's get him on here, man. There he is. See if he answers.
Is he going to answer?
Because he came with me and he saw this, actually, Reign of Superman. We went over to Warner Brothers and actually went to their screening room, checked it out. Two parts. So I want to see if he answers.
I think he's going to air you, man.
Isn't he? No, he said he was busy today. Would have been nice to talk to him still. Maybe not.
Is he? Nope. No. Oh, hello.
He's unavailable.
No, he didn't. No.
So yeah, we watched it in two parts. So the Reign of the Superman finds Earth citizens and the Man of Steel's heroic contemporaries dealing with a world without Superman. So it's another film where Superman dies. Or does he?
Dies, quote unquote. Yeah. Is he dead? Is he alive? Is he hiding? Is he going to come out of hiding and then, oh look, I'm alive!
Yeah.
And start saving the world.
Basically, this is comic book 101. So, comic book animation adaption 101, basically. Beautiful story. Looks good. Very comic-y. Very adult as well. I do like the fact that we get to see more than one Superman as well, because it's Reign of Superman. So it's kind of based in a world where there are Superman... No, they're not Superman.
So it's a bit like
power levels, but they're higher levels of power you see in this film.
So it's a bit like that most that recent Spider-Man film where there's loads of different Spider-Men in different parallel
different
universes.
Spider-Verse.
Yeah. Is it similar to that?
Basically, there's another Spider-Man. There's another Superman, right? Like an actual other Superman in it. And then there's some other people that are they? You think, are they Superman or not? So it's very interesting. I want to tell you more about it, but if you just basically
gives away too much.
Yeah, if you're a fan of like real Superman and animations, and you want to watch a nice, I think they're both like an hour and a bit, hour and 15, a nice chunk of quality content. I think Reign of Superman's for you, man. I enjoyed it. Funk liked it. He was a bit more of an authority in that DC world. He did say, though, I reckon he'll let me quote him on this. He actually said that he thought that DC was doing better in the
animation
world than they are doing in the live action side of things. So
live action, we'll see about the next film for DC with their live action stuff.
Exactly. Anyway, Bill, what's going on in the world of tech? You just see what I'm about to talk about. So basically, everything. Did you know that the UK is trying to block online porn, Bill?
I knew about that.
I bet you did.
Hey.
Why were you so aware of this, Billy?
I'm so aware of it. What? It's all over my Twitter feed.
Yeah?
Why People is it all over your all over some memes.
It's all over your Twitter feed, yeah, Bill?
All over the Twitter, then, should I say, rather than the Twitter. Hey, it sounds really old there, doesn't it? The Twitter.
It's on the Twitter. So it's on your Twitter feed basically at the moment. So you've got the
not
hashtag.
At the moment. When it was last year.
This is like, I feel like this kicked off a few years ago. Actually, should we go back to the start of it? I think 2015, the government, which tried
is
to
it that
impose,
long ago?
Yeah, man, it was that long ago. They start trying to impose restrictions on access to porn. Now, all of the legal measures needed to do so have been passed. And it's only a matter of time until the changes start to happen across the web. That's what we were told in like 2015. Like, porn's going to be banned soon. You better start saving all of your favorite porn and keeping it on a hard drive at home, right? Now, in 2017, there were changes introduced to the Digital Economy Act, which states commercial providers of porn should have age checks on their website to stop children from seeing explicit images and videos, which I'm cool with. Porn is not for 5-year-olds, right? I'm down for that, right? That makes sense, right? But this means every user on a pornographic website will have to prove they're 18. So that means if you wanted to go on, I don't know, what would Billy like?
What would I like?
What would Billy like? If you want to go on, I don't know, Filthy Mates, filthymates.com, Yeah, you'd have to.
How would I need to prove my age then, Marcus?
Some form of ID, I reckon. Probably a PayPal transaction, isn't it? That would be a good way, because PayPal knows your age, don't they?
Say I was 16.
Yeah.
Surely I couldn't just get some sort of fake ID and send it across.
Well, online it's hard. Or you could just take someone else's login details, like Netflix. Like, how many people do you know that just use someone else's Netflix password? Do you know what I mean? So they could use someone else's ID.
I keep my Netflix
ID.
Password nice and tight. No one's using that, mate.
Are you not sharing your Netflix?
No.
Have you only got an account for one person, though?
I've got different users.
So other people, you've got other users in your family that you let use it?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
But I don't like sharing it out. Yeah, watch this.
So if I said, can I use your Netflix password, would you say?
No.
So 2018, right? The government planned to introduce age verification in April, right? Loads of technical challenges, though, across thousands of websites weren't practical, so the scheme was delayed. Now it's expected that age checks will start to appear online in April this year. However, this has yet to be confirmed. This is everything that we know about the porn situation now. So, the new laws mean that porn will only be viewable in the UK if you're proven over 18. Now, what counts as porn and the websites that will have to put up blocks has proven tricky.
Now, Instagram models.
There we go. Is that porn? Like, because there's no nipple allowed on Instagram, but I'm sure enough see enough arse on there to do
you
the
job.
You
could say that's some soft core.
That's some, well, some of that's very soft. That, you know, or some of that core's looking hard. This is getting my core hard. You know what I mean? But some stuff that I see on Insta is so, like,
bordering on that.
Bruv, come on. Like, because there's a bit of tape on your nipples, I'm supposed to believe that that's, you know, like, I ain't got an imagination. I can't imagine
art,
nipples.
Mate.
It's art, yeah? Okay, cool. But the big places, though, what about the free porn places? Like this website says that I'm reading this off, because I don't know these off the top of my head. RedTube, Pornhub, and XHamster. You know your websites that you go to, Bill. How are they going to make sure that these comply when you go on them?
I think they'll just think fuck it. Not literally. They'll just think fuck it, not bother.
But if they legally have to, like, but I why think would, PayPal would be a good way actually.
If they're American based, if the website's American based,
yeah,
why would they have to follow UK law?
I mean, there's probably just going to be a website that turns up that's in the middle of fucking nowhere where there's no internet laws, and they'll just host it, innit? It'll be like
someone will find a way.
Pornhamster.fp or something, do you know what I mean? And we'll just be watching it. You'll just be watching it.
Pornhamster, fucking hell.
Pornhamster. There's no link to it on this article, unfortunately. So yeah, good point that you made. What about social media, right? There's Instagram, there's obviously stuff on Reddit, there's also Twitter as well. Twitter's got proper porn stars on Twitter, like, fully, like, it's not, there's nothing hidden, bruv. And they also link onto their little personal, you know, click here to pay for stuff, which is long. Why would you pay? Can I just have a word
with
you?
Why do you know so much about this?
If you pay for porn, come on, man, you see premiums and all that shit. Come on, can I just say to you, why would you pay £20 to get some free, like, to get some extra footage when you can just use this free resource that is the internet? Like, XHamster. Sick name. Why? I mean, does that make sense to you, Bill? Paying a premium when you can get it for free?
No. Have I ever paid?
Yeah.
No. No one pays.
So do you think this porn block is actually going to work, Billy?
Someone will find a way around it.
I think you trying to restrict the internet like this is ridiculous.
Because since, like, me and you, the internet came around when we was in our teens. Now, kids growing up with the internet and computers, they know how to hack things. They know ways around things. They know, because they built up, they've grown up with it, whereas we had to learn. But like we was talking to, my mate was talking about these kids with social media managers' jobs, whereas we had to learn how to use it. Me and you, we saw Twitter when it was, oh, I'm eating toast or I'm having cereal. And then these other kids know how to use it because they've had people, they've just grown up with it and use it different to than how we would.
Yeah. Quick digression, Billy.
Go on.
Twitter used, when it first launched, was a podcast company, you know?
I didn't know that. No, I didn't. No, I did not know that. No.
Draw that bomb on you. Anyway, yeah, sorry. You were saying. So kids with social media. So you're saying kids are just more internet savvy now.
They're more savvy, yeah. They would know what to do.
I think it's kind of like if they were to make, it's if you make something illegal, the black market just becomes more valuable. So if they make porn illegal, it's just going to add more value. The premium sales are going to go up. The paywalls for sites, there's going to be money out of it, and then the government's going to want to pay, have that regulation paid for, because they're going to try and offer a government body, aren't they?
So it may go back to fiscal, eh? They might be going on the old top shelf thing.
Top shelf? Oh, what? Top shelfing?
Yeah.
That's, you know what? Should I say? I had a boy from uni. Oh, this is funny. So my mate from uni was one of those people that got drunk and really, like, when he drank a lot, it exposed a part, like a dark, different side of him that we didn't realize exist. But he only ever realized it the next day. So he had no recollection of some of his weird, dark behavior, right? Or should we just say different? Dark's a strong word. But,
I'm expecting something crazy right now.
Not too crazy, but he didn't live with his girlfriend at uni, but she stayed over a lot, right? And he remembers having a few drinks and making his way home after the club, but he blacked out between getting home and leaving the club and getting home, getting to bed. So he, like, remembers half the journey. He remembers going into a shop. The next day, his girlfriend wasn't very happy because not only did he come in loud, drunk, forgot that she was staying over at his that night, and, like, fell all over her and, like, jumped on the bed and was noisy snoring. She woke up the next day and found a packet of crisps, a drink, and, like, a 40 Up magazine. Now, a 40 Up magazine is, it might have been 50 Up. A 50 Up magazine or a 40 Up magazine is a magazine where the models in it are only of the age 40 and upwards. So his fetish was, when he was like 15 pints in, was like grandmothers, like old mothers, mums, saggy boobs. Like we saw the magazine, went over to his house, and we had to inspect that magazine. And we were like, wow, when you've had a few drinks, you are really on the older things.
I'm assuming,
which is cool.
I'm assuming she told everyone rather than he telling everyone.
He had to tell us, because if he didn't tell us, as the stupid little kids we were, we would have found out and ripped him. So if he told us, I kind of took a little bit of power of it. But for a long time, we were like, you know what? It could have been. Let me Google
he
it.
He could have just never told you.
Was it 50 Up? It's fine. 60 Up. 50 Up or 60 Up?
This is some Googling there. If this is six months late, it might put your credit card details in.
Yeah, it was 60 Up. Best of 60 Up magazine I've just found on Google. Paperback 2015. I'm just going to show Billy's.
Oh, dear. Is this Amazon? It's fucking Amazon. Oh, dear.
Hey, listen.
Now your shopping history is going to be like recommendations based on your browsing history.
Oh, yeah. Look, you know what? That'll be me in a few years' time, enjoying being a 60 and up, enjoying some 60 and up business. But yeah, very interesting. Fetish from, I almost said his name. So this porn thing, you think it's not going to happen, really?
Someone, like I said, these internet kids, quote unquote, will find a way to, they'll find a way around it.
Yeah, they will do. Right, Billy. So this next thing you can kind of take lead on, Fortnite Marshmallow Monster Concert.
I saw about it. I saw it, but I didn't participate in this concert. I knew about it after the fact.
Can you explain why Marshmallow may have broken a world record for most attended concert ever?
Because for 10 minutes, if I'm getting this correct, for 10 minutes they stopped the actual regular games of Fortnite, and everyone was in the same game, but in different games, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
They won't have 10 million people in one server every day, they'll just crash it. And basically, Marshmallow done a live concert in the game Fortnite.
So you went onto Fortnite and you couldn't fight.
You could dance and listen to Marshmallow for 10 minutes.
When you say dance, was it like jumping up and down, basically?
Just some of the emotes that you can get while playing this game, just different things to do.
Oh, so everyone was doing like the different skanks and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
And he did a concert. So could this be the future of raving then? Would you call this a night out? Because, you know.
No. It's quite cool, but it's not something that you would. It's not going to replace a concert. There's no atmosphere there. There's no good music, speakers. You might have speakers in your house.
In the background. Go on.
But it's not that. It's good. It's. I'd call it a gimmick more than anything.
Shout out to Fortnite though for
it is fun, I will admit, but
Yeah, I mean, shout out to them for actually having a nice creative way of adding a flavour to the game, because I think a lot of these things can get sterile, like, and pretty, like, stale,
sterile,
should I say.
I was about to say, yeah,
sterile. A lot of these things can get stale after playing them for a while, but they're managing to inject little bits of fun into it. So, you know, they had the whole Thanos thing when Avengers came out. They've got the Marshmallow concert. They're really doing a good job at kind of keeping themselves relevant, I feel, like, keeping themselves at the forefront of gaming news by doing little things like that.
Well, every 12 weeks they change things up, so it is interesting to see what they're doing next. And this maybe, like, you've got VR concerts and that, but, like, we've covered on the show before, but
yeah,
I can't see it changing a real experience like Glastonbury. It would never recreate it.
There's nothing like being there, is there? Nothing like actually being there. But it does work out for Marshmallow, because he does like to keep himself anonymous. Even though
if Mark
you're
Ronson,
enough, yeah, if you didn't, it's not Mark Ronson.
It's not Mark Ronson.
It's some other geezer. Like, it was on the Sony. You can find, if you dig deep enough, it's some other geezer that they his name was like down as a contributor for like all, or his name popped up on a library. Music library for a label at the same time as Marshmello's did, like, and like the code, say your code was 543821, his was 543822, like right after Marshmello's, and is like they popped up at the same time. That somebody did some sick research like that. It's not Mark Ronson. How can that be Mark Ronson? Really? Is that a thing? Mark Ronson Marshmello.
First one here. Mallrat has gone into investigating mode, calling out Mark Ronson for hiding his true identity as EDM producer Marshmallow.
Nah, he's not, man. It's like, I'm not gonna hot him up on the podcast, but there's loads of people. It's another DJ, man. Chris Comstock. That's what everyone says it is. Basically, it was Chris. Chris Comstock.
Will you ever find a time? I don't think you'll ever find out unless he reveals himself at some point.
And somebody else called him Chris as well.
What? While there was
a festival. And there's also a picture of Skrillex holding up his phone with Comstock's name saved as Chris Marshmallow.
Oh, so he got leaked. His phone got leaked. His, like, the screen of his
screenshot,
phone.
Screenshot, yeah, because Skrillex is a bit of a dumbass for that, isn't it, really? But it's no biggie, man. He's still a geezer. He can basically, now that he has the mask, he can still send other people to do shows for him, and no one else is going to know that it's not him. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, future stuff like that, Bill, not too exciting for you? You don't think it's really going to take off?
It's exciting, but I can't see it taking off anytime soon. It's a good 10-minute thing, but I can't see people having the patience to sit in an hour-long concert during the Fortnite game. People just want to play.
What about live VR porn, then? If we combine...
Did you just say live?
Live VR porn.
No.
I think that has got legs.
Got legs, I bet it has.
I think it's definitely got legs. Right, so, Bill.
I'm listening.
Apparently, we've had 100 years of Hollywood remaking films. Right?
Yes, I'm listening.
So, we're kind of reaching an area... Over the last 100 years of movie remakes, we've had 1,438 films that have been remakes, right? Over the last 100 years. Are we slowly running out of ideas?
No. Are Hollywood not having enough balls to do an original film? Yes.
Okay.
I think there is plenty of original films out there, but Hollywood don't want to lose money, so they're kind of apprehensive, should I say, to go ahead and do some more of the more original movies and tend to veer towards remakes.
Yeah, because I'm not, sorry, it's me dropping my phone. Because I'm not that turned on with the idea of like a Dumbo remake. And I've got to be honest, I'm not that excited about the Lion King remake either, because...
I'm more excited about the Lion King one than the Aladdin one.
I'm not excited about that either, because I love the original so much. It's kind of like, the only way I can relate to it is on Britain's Got Talent, when they have like Michael Jackson episode where everyone tries to sing Michael Jackson songs. Why? You can't outdo the original. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think Jungle Book worked well, didn't it? Jungle Book went down well. For the Disney lot, so they want to do Lion King and stuff, but I think I might even refuse to watch the Lion King live action version when it comes
but you've done it now, you've watched The Jungle Book. You've watched, so you kind of have to watch Lion King.
I didn't watch The Jungle Book, Billy. I didn't.
I thought you said you liked it.
No, people liked it. Yeah, I said it worked for them. Okay. Nah, man.
Take that as no, then, yeah?
Nah, man. Like, could you imagine if they made a Die Hard 1 again?
Yeah, that's not going to be... Or Terminator again.
Terminator... Power Rangers, the original series again. Are you mad? You can't do that again. You can't do another first series where they throw a punch every time they use a syllable. Hey guys, let's go over there. You can't redo that, mate. Fuck that. Original Transformers again. No, the movie was slightly different, right? So I could do that. It's not like they... Nah, yeah. Whew. So I'm getting a bit emotional. What I would like a remake of, though... What I'd enjoy a remake of is a film. I'll take that back. Forget that. What I did enjoy the remake of was Westworld, because that was actually a classic sci-fi film, right?
But it's TV
very
show.
Old. But they made it into a TV show, twisted it, remixed it, flipped it, whatever. That's cool.
I would argue that's an original. I'd argue that's an original rather than a remake,
even though it's based on a film.
But it's a new way of showing that film.
So is when a new James Bond comes out, like Daniel Craig, was that's a remake or is that an original?
What do you mean?
So it's like a new Bond, is that like a reboot?
But it's a new film though, isn't it?
Okay,
it's
so it's a reboot then, yeah, but they've twisted the story slightly. Okay, cool, fair enough. I'm down with you on that. So what about when things come around, like Toy Story comes around for another reboot?
Well, Toy Story 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
What if they just do Toy Story 1 again? How would that make you feel?
No, you can't be doing that again. See, I don't. Yeah,
Monsters Inc.
Yeah, you can't be doing those again.
That's how I feel about Jungle Book. I don't know why. Or if you did like The Little Mermaid again.
The difference between those is The Jungle Book was an animated film,
right? Okay,
and now
okay.
It's live action.
So, have you seen The Jungle Book?
No, I haven't seen the live action one. No.
All right, cool. All right, I might give it a chance, but I don't know, man. I don't know. But yeah, Hollywood's remaking a lot of stuff. But anyway, let's move on there. I think we've called an hour. We've got another juicy episode coming up. We've just confirmed that we're going to have some more car talk as well. February is the month of cars for How to Kill an Hour. That's our theme this month, right?
Vroom, vroom.
Yeah, what he said.
Nah.
Don't forget to head to howtokillanhour.com/news. You can join our newsletter where you'll be one step ahead of all the ways to kill time. I've been Marcus Bronzy.
And I've been producer Bill.
Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.